So good to see everyone this evening. Your presence here is an indication of your interest in spiritual things and looking at what God's Word has to say, and you're to be commended for your presence here. There are several here who have traveled some distance from different directions to be with us. It's encouraging to me to see you again. I know it's encouraging to the brethren to see you as well. Perhaps you're with us tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Maybe this is the first time that you've visited here at Pruitt and Lobet or visited a Church of Christ. I want you to know that you are an honored guest, and we're especially thankful that you've come our way. And as we said all week, if you have any questions about anything that you hear or about anything that you observe while you're with us, please let us know. We would be thankful, grateful for the opportunity to sit down with you at your convenience with an open Bible and address any questions or concerns that you may have. On the slide before us are the topics that we have been looking at this week. We are all too rapidly drawing to the finish, but you see the topics that we've looked at during the week, and as has been announced, these have been put onto CDs, and most of them are on the church's website as well. So if you're interested in any of these topics, be sure to pick up these lessons and take them and study them, listen to them, study them with an open Bible as they were originally presented. And if you find the things therein to be true, only then would we ask that you apply them to your life, to your heart. And that's the same thing with what we're talking about tonight. I want us to consider the question, is dancing a sin? Is it a sin for me to engage in dancing? What does the Bible have to say about that? Let's start in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, I want us to look at verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul writes, the Apostle Peter writes, and says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter reminds us that as Christians, we are pilgrims. We are strangers in this world. We're passing through. This world is not our home. And the sinful things that the people around about us engage in and enjoy are not open to us. We're not allowed to engage in those things. We're not allowed to enjoy those things. As a matter of fact, we're told to abstain from them, to stay away from those things. And as we do so, this will cause us to look strange in the eyes of the world. Our conduct will look strange, Peter says in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, but it is to remain honorable. It is to be consistent with the claim that we make that we are Christians, that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We're not to join in the activities of the world. And one of these activities is dancing. Now, the dancing that we are considering in this study tonight is the kind of dancing that is popular among many people today. The kind of dancing that takes place at school dances, including the prom, in dance clubs, that can be watched on television, music videos, and even the dance competition television shows that have become so popular in recent years. We can ask the question, what is wrong with this? What is wrong with dancing? I'll begin tonight by telling you that I struggled with that question for a number of years after I first became a Christian. Now, I didn't go to a lot of dances. I couldn't dance. And it's not that it's something that I wanted to go and do, but I heard that it's wrong, and I wanted to know why. And I would go to several older members of the church, to elders, Bible class teachers, and I would ask the question, what's wrong with dancing? And they would open the Word of God, and we would talk about it together, and I would hear their answer, but I was never fully satisfied with their answer. So if you're here tonight and your view on this subject is that it belongs in the realm of Christian liberty, and it's something that's okay to do, and you don't quite see where the Bible condemns it, I want you to know that I was there. I was there. That was the view that I had. But as I grew in my faith, as I studied what the Scriptures have to say and the principles that are set forth about the standard that God wants us to live by, and as I was honest with myself and my experiences in dancing, and what dancing does and the door that it opens up, I came to understand what the Bible has to say on this subject. And I want to share those thoughts and those studies with you here this evening. What's wrong with dancing? Where's the verse in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not dance"? Well, that verse is not there. That verse is not there. Dancing is mentioned a number of times in the Bible, and you know, it's not always mentioned in a negative light. There are actually different kinds of dancing that's talked about in the Bible. For one, we can read of dances of religious devotion. If you would turn with me, because I want you to see this for yourself, if you would turn with me to the book of Exodus at chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel have been delivered through the Red Sea. The army of Egypt has been destroyed in the waters of those seas. So they are finally freed from the oppression of Egypt. And Moses sings a song of deliverance, a song that praises God for that deliverance. But then notice down in verse 20, Exodus 15, verse 20, it says, "Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing." So what do we have on this occasion? We have dancing. We have Miriam leading the other women in a dance of recognition, of celebration, of devotion unto God, of thanksgiving for the deliverance that had been given unto them. In the book of 2 Samuel, at chapter 6, we read of King David dancing before the ark as it is finally brought into Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "Then David danced before the Lord with all his might." As this procession is making its way into Jerusalem, there is the king dancing before the ark with all of his might, showing his appreciation, his thanksgiving unto God for him bringing the ark safely into Jerusalem. Now, some things we need to observe about these dances that we read of. Number one, these dances were not done for amusement. They were not done for pleasure. They were not done as a means of exercise or relaxation or learning balance or coordination. They were not done as entertainment, and they were not done as an expression of art or one's particular talent. It was a dance. They were both dances of religious devotion. And something else we notice in these accounts, men and women were not dancing together, were they? In Exodus, we have the women specified, singled out. They're dancing. In 2 Samuel, we have one man, David, who is dancing. Does this authorize dancing and worship unto God today as we're gathered together in our worship at the church? No, it does not. For one thing, these are happening in the Old Testament, and we worship God in spirit and in truth today. Secondly, notice that Miriam, it says specifically in that passage, she was a prophetess. So she was doing what God had told her to do, just as Moses was singing that song that God gave to him. Miriam was doing what God told her to do on that occasion. David was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every likelihood that his dancing is a part of what God wanted to be done on that occasion. We have these accounts. They are there. We can't ignore them. But notice, they are dances of religious devotion, and they are confined to these particular instances, not a pattern to be followed in our worship unto God today. Secondly, the New Testament tells us of dances of innocent joy and youth, and dances of celebration. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus used the illustration of children dancing as they played with each other to talk about how fickle the Jews were who were listening to him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. But to what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament." Here Jesus is using this illustration, that this practice, you go to the marketplace, you see children playing. You see them dancing. Wasn't anything wrong with that. They're innocent children, they're playing. He used that as an illustration. In Luke chapter 15, in the parable of the prodigal son, the son is welcomed back home, and the whole household celebrates. And here comes the older brother making his way in from the field, verse 25. And his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. There was dancing that was happening there in that house. That dancing, if you follow the parables of Luke chapter 15, there's three of them. The dancing that is happening in the house corresponds to the joy that's expressed in heaven over a sinner who repents. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 10. This is celebratory. It's not sensual. It's not sinful. It's not physical or lustful. It is innocent celebration. They are dancing. They are singing. There is music because they are celebrating the occasion. Again, no mention of members of the opposite sex dancing with one another. And as we said, nothing sensual or sexual about these dances. I looked up dancing in the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, and I found this interesting quote. "While the mode of dancing is not known in detail," that is, we don't know the steps, we don't know exactly what the dance was, "it's clear that men and women did not generally dance together. And there's no real evidence that they ever did. Social amusement was hardly a major purpose of dancing, and the modern method of dancing by couples is unknown." So if you want to be like Kevin Bacon does in that old show Footloose, and you want to come into the town hall and you want to make your argument for dancing and you want to open up to these verses and talk about how there was dancing going on there, it wasn't a 42nd cousin related to the kind of dancing that is popular today. There is that kind of dancing found in the Bible. There's dances of sinful merrymaking that we read of in the Bible. Going back to Exodus chapter 32, Moses took too long on the mountain. The people got tired of waiting for him, so they told Aaron, remember, make a god that will go before us. They rejected the true and living God, and God knew that and expressed his anger to Moses and sent him down the mountain. And we know what he found when he got down off the mountain. Exodus 32 and verse 19, "So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain." If we skip down to verse 25, "And when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained." Here Moses finds the children of Israel dancing in front of an idol. They've forsaken their true and living God, and they've gone back to the only God that they would know, worshiping an idol as they saw the Egyptians do. And they worshiped that idol the way they saw the Egyptians worshiping the idol. All through the Bible, all through history, we have idolatry being associated with and accompanied by sensuality, lasciviousness, and fornication. And that kind of debauchery, that kind of entertainment, that kind of activity that surrounded the worship of the idol. That's the kind of dancing that Moses found them doing. It wasn't innocent playing, and it wasn't wholesome and sincere religious devotion. It was sinful. It was sexual in nature. And of course, we go to Matthew chapter 14, verses 6 through 8. We have Herod celebrating his birthday, and his wife's daughter comes and dances before him and his friends. Matthew 14, verses 6 through 8. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." This dance literally cost John the Baptist his life. Was this a young child who was dancing innocently and they were just pleased that there was a little toddler dancing in front of them? No. We know that the Herods were not godly people. And history tells us that this wife of his, and remember why John's in prison in the first place, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So they're involved in an unscriptural marriage, and it doesn't bother them at all. She's fully influenced by the Roman culture that she is raised in. And historians and scholars tell us that's very likely that this dance that was done was a very sensual dance, was a very lewd dance that likely would have been done in a modest attire. Well, yeah, there's dancing there, but there's nothing about this that's in a positive light. Absolutely nothing. And one more passage I would look at with this point is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, where we read of the works of the flesh. And dancing is mentioned here. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. That means we ought to be able to tell when we see it that it's sinful. They're evident. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I told you in time past, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You remember that last phrase? Those who practice the sins that are mentioned here in verses 19 through 21 habitually engage in these sins. It doesn't mean you do it one and you're out with no hope. No, habitually engage in these sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The last one that is mentioned specifically is revelries. King James Version says reveling. New American Standard Version says carousing. English Standard Version says orgies. This is translated from a Greek word that refers to nocturnal and riotous processions through the streets in honor of a pagan god. These would include drinking and dancing. I liken this word, revelries, to the modern day keg party, where there's drinking going on and people become intoxicated and they're riotous and it spills out into the street. These parties that happen on college campuses. A couple years ago, the police had to shut down the University of Dayton because the parties in the frat houses were just too wild. I bet that school was so proud of that. This is what's being talked about here. This is the kind of dancing that's mentioned here, and it's condemned. It's condemned. So, no, the Bible does not give a blanket condemnation on all dancing. But the Bible most definitely condemns one kind of dancing for sure. Now let me ask you a question. The dances that are going on that young people like to go to, school dances that are going on, the prom, the dancing that's done in the dance clubs, the dancing that's done on television that brings so many people in and causes the ratings to go up. Let's be honest with ourselves. Which category of these three does that kind of dancing fall under? And we know good and well it's not the first two. It's the third one. It's the dancing that the Bible identifies and condemns as sin. Now, to find out what is wrong with dancing, we need to get a little more specific than just looking at where the Bible mentions dancing. As with many other moral issues, we need to consider also the principles that are set forth in the Word of God. And we're going to spend some time looking at those right now. Dancing is wrong because dancing is lasciviousness. If you're open to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to consider another of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 19, the very last one that's mentioned in that verse, the King James Version renders it as lasciviousness, the New King James Version as lewdness. The New American Standard Version, and I believe the English Standard Version, as sensuality, and the New International Version as debauchery. Lasciviousness isn't a word that we use very often, but I will want you to see that it applies to several activities that are popular among worldly people today. Vines defines the Greek word that's translated as lasciviousness, lewdness, sensuality, as excess, absence of restraint, indecency. Think again about the kind of dancing that is popular today. Could it not be described as an absence of restraint? Can it not be described as that which is indecent? Thayer, in his lexicon of the words of the New Testament, has this definition for lasciviousness: unbridled lust. Really, the word means no control. No control being shown whatsoever. Excess. Wanton acts or manners. And that word wanton is connected with sexual. Sexual acts. Sexual manners. Such as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. Is that not a perfect description of modern popular dancing? Indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. That describes it perfectly. And it's lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a work of the flesh and is condemned as a sin. Today's modern popular dance most certainly fits this definition. Sensuality is a very good rendering of this Greek word in that it identifies it as anything that produces lust or sensual thought. And so since modern popular dancing certainly fits this term, it's condemned as a work of the flesh, it is sinful for a Christian to be engaged in it, and listen to me, to endorse it or to defend it. It's just as sinful as engaging in it. It's a work of the flesh. We ought not to have anything to do with it. We are to abstain from it. What else is it about sin that we understand makes it dancing that makes it sinful? Well, dancing produces sexual desire. Dancing produces sexual desire. And this is something that as Christians, if we take our faith and we take our life that we live before God seriously, we're going to stay as far away from this sin and any avenue or doorway to this sin that exists. We're to flee fornication. We're to stay away from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." Christian, listen to me. Young Christian, old in between. The will of God is that you hold your body in sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that you abstain from the sin of fornication. Verse 4 says that you should know how to possess your vessel. That literally means know how to control your body and keep control of your body and do not engage in the sin of fornication and do not give yourself the avenue, the opportunity to engage in the sin of fornication. We're not to live like animals, verse 5. We're not to live to fulfill our passions. Remember, we're to abstain from fleshly lust, we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. We're not to live like the rest of the world. We keep ourselves separate. We stay away from fornication. Now, if we're determined to keep ourselves sexually pure, we will want to avoid modern popular dancing. And what is so tragic, what is so sad, is that the people of the world willingly admit that this is true when Christians sometimes don't. Oh, there's no connection between... Oh, that's just a rite of passage. Going to prom, that's just a rite of passage. And I'm not about to deny my children of that privilege, of that right. Well, there's nothing sinful connected to it whatsoever. People of the world know better than that. Kurt Salk, he's not a Christian, has written in a book, World History of the Dance, the whole range of modern dances are designed to express lovemaking. That's what modern popular dancing is all about, expressing the action of lovemaking. Dr. Lita S. Hollingsworth has written, "Dancing is an exciting and pleasurable recreation as it affords a partial satisfaction to the sex impulse, which among adolescents cannot as yet achieve full and specific expression." This is a dated quote because we've come a long way from this. A long way from this, but what she says is absolutely right. What makes school dances so popular for so many, and I would say especially boys, is it is the circumstance, a situation in which for the first time in their life, they get to hold a girl close to them. And swaying back and forth with the rhythm of the music begins to excite the sexual feelings. That the Song of Solomon says, "Do not awaken love before its time." But yet that's exactly what's happening out there on the dance floor in these junior high school dances. For the first time, this fire is being lit. And adults, we know once this fire gets lit, we've got trouble on our hands. But yeah, sure, you can go to the dance. Go ahead. The world knows better than that. The world knows that's not a place where you'll remain pure. Dr. A.C. Dixon, "The modern dance is the fine art of covering with music indelicate, immodest, and oftentimes indecent attitudes and postures between men and women. Indeed, take away the music and what are they doing?" Take away the music and what are they doing? Dr. J.P. Gibson says, "The secret of the popularity of dancing, or is it a secret, is the exciting sexual stimulation resulting from the close embrace of male and female, whether it be dancing or without music and petting and necking." What this quote helps us to see is that dancing is a precursor to intercourse. Dancing leads to the bedroom. It does the same thing that making out in the backseat of the car does. It points both individuals to the bed. That's exactly what dancing is. Modern popular dancing does. Next quote I have fills up three screens. I want you to follow it with me. "We know that sex is the strongest impulse planted in the human race. You can just picture the effect on a boy or girl of 18 or 20 when this hunger is keenest, when knowledge and experience are lacking in the formation of judgment, of one of these dances which calls for close bodily contact and frequently brings the cheeks together and entwine the limbs. Yet we find thousands of boys and girls dancing in this very way who do not realize that they are doing anything out of the way. Honestly, truthfully, a lot of young people don't see anything wrong with dancing. Why? Because they're not mature enough to process what it is that they're experiencing, and whose fool parents look on complacently. Maybe the young people don't understand, but mom and dad, where are you? We understand. We know what's going on out there. This form of dancing is a menace to the future of our nation. When you are told that youth of both sexes can survive this experience without mental, moral, and physical pollution, you know the teller lies. This individual is saying the person that does not acknowledge this is lying. If you can believe youth is the same after this experience as before, then God help your child or your charge, for you are not mentally fit for your responsibility. If you do not believe I have correctly described the modern dances and their effect, you either have not seen them performed or you are willfully blind to their true character. Either you're ignorant of the subject altogether or you're turning a blind eye to it. Either way, if you're sending your children to the dance, you're not fit to be a parent, is what this individual is saying. This isn't a crusty old preacher who's got nothing better to do than to rain on your parade. It's not a mean old elder who's trying to take away rights and freedoms from you. This isn't a Christian at all. This is an individual who owns and operates one of Chicago's largest dance halls. They're from the world. And yet, he's willing to acknowledge what happens in dancing. Some girls may not understand that there is the connection between dancing and sex, but I guarantee you boys do. Boys understand this. I believe it's illustrated in at least two different ways. Number one, heterosexual girls will sometimes dance together and dance with each other and not think anything of it. But you don't see two heterosexual boys dancing together, do you? Putting their arms around each other and swaying back and forth? No way. And guys don't want their wife or their girlfriend dancing with another guy. They don't want that to happen. Why? Because they know what the other guy is thinking and experiencing with their wife or their girlfriend, and they're not going to allow it. Don't tell me there's not a connection there. The world tells us there's a connection. Our physical bodies will tell us that there is a connection between the two. Psychology Today has this interesting point. In a study surveying 12,843 high school students, 14% of girls reported having sex on prom night. And 5% of those girls and 3% of boys lost their virginity on prom night. What's the deal about prom? Well, prom's where you dress up and you take pictures and you have a nice dinner and you go to this formal dance, but it's the after prom. It's the after prom. What's the after prom for? Remember what dancing points to? The after prom is where that's fulfilled. And that's very much a part of the prom. Something else that's very much a part of the prom is drugs and alcohol. This is a letter that was sent to the parents of the students of a high school in Louisville, Kentucky by the principal back in 2004. Dear parents, on April 24, 2004, the junior-senior prom will be held at the Commonwealth Convention Center in Louisville, Kentucky. The prom will start at 8 and end at 12 o'clock. Unfortunately, one of the things associated with the prom is the use of drugs and alcoholic beverages. And notice what this principal is saying. He's saying, unfortunately, one of the things that is associated with the problem. It's well known. There's no debate about this matter. Drugs and alcohol are associated with it. And he's writing this letter to inform the parents, we're going to try to keep your children safe. But if your child shows up inebriated or their guest with them, they're going to be detained and you're going to come and you're going to pick them up. And then here's a Christian parent saying, oh, yes, indeed, you're going to go to the prom. Well, you're going to go and you're going to take part in that. And here are people from the world who have the responsibility of maintaining the safety of the people there saying, drugs and alcohol are there. And not only that, but the after party as well. Another letter that was sent out in 2014. The dress code, basic concepts of the school dress code policy will be enforced. Attire that is overly revealing, extremely short, low cut, or excessively sheer is not appropriate for any school activity. Please keep this in mind when renting or purchasing your attire. Please choose wisely and check with a school administrator prior to the dance if you are in doubt. Males are to keep their dress shirts on during the dance. Got to keep your clothes on while you're dancing. We send a letter out just so we can cover ourselves when we have to pull you out of the dance and send you home. We warn your parents this is going to happen. You have to keep your clothes on at the dance. Did you get this? Attire that is overly revealing, extremely short, low cut, excessively sheer is not appropriate for any school activity. Where do the cheerleading uniforms get through? And the volleyball uniforms and the sports uniforms. When I was living in Edna, Texas, there was a print-up of the school dress code in the newspaper, and it made a comment similar to this about appropriate attire. And I called and I asked, what about the cheerleading uniforms? And the secretary said, I know. That's exempted because it's a sports uniform. So they found a way around that, but they acknowledge immodest dress. And that's another topic altogether that I know is not unheard here in this pulpit. Dance rules. You and your guests are not to use profane language, drugs, alcoholic beverages, or tobacco. Students dancing or behaving inappropriately will be escorted out of the dance and will not be given a refund. This includes any sexually explicit type of dancing. If prom attendees are escorted out of the dance, parents will be notified. These are the kind of things that happen at the school dance, that happen at the prom. The school administration acknowledges this to the parents. And yet we have Christian parents that, oh yes, my child is going to go to the prom. I'm not going to deny them that rite of passage. They're going to go. Romans 13, verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. If that's your goal, you'd stay away from something like the dance. You'd stay as far away from it as you possibly could. There are two more things I want us to consider, and we're going to cover them a lot more quickly than we have the others so far. What is wrong with dancing? What makes it sinful? Participation in dancing can be a stumbling block. Someone may sit and listen to this so far and respond, you know, I hear what you're saying, but dancing doesn't affect me. I can dance, I can go to the dances, I can engage in dancing, and it doesn't give me any lustful thoughts or desires. Well, number one, you're not telling the truth. Or you're made out of Teflon, one or the other. Or, as was said, you've never been to a dance and you don't know what's happening. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, you are made out of Teflon and you can go through that experience unscathed. You need to think about someone other than just yourself. What about the person that you're dancing with? What about the person that you are yielding your body up to so that they can touch it and grab it and feel it and be stimulated by it? And that fire is lit in them. You have a responsibility there. You put a stumbling block before them. You're not innocent in this matter. Or what if you knowingly go to the dance and you encourage somebody else, oh, go to the dance. Don't listen to Jesse. Don't listen to those elders. They don't know what they're talking about. That's just old stuff, and we're free in Christ. That's what my parents say. And we can go and engage in the dance. And that person, due to your influence, goes to the dance, and they're exposed to those temptations, and they give in. They've committed their own sin, and they'll have to answer for that. But you played a role in it, and you can't deny that. You played a role in it. See, we need to think about someone other than just ourselves when we look at these moral issues. Because it may not impact me, it may not affect me like it does someone else, but I need to be very careful of my influence. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Let me tell you something. You don't want to be on the receiving end of one of the Lord's woes. That's a denunciation. That is a cry for sorrow and impending doom. You cause individuals to sin, and you go and meet the Lord in judgment, you're going to have to pay for that. And the Lord is saying here it would be better off if your life ended in a very violent way than for you to continue to live, cause someone to sin, and have to come see me. You'd be better off dying before you did that. Dancing is a stumbling block before others, and dancing can harm our influence. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not your dance moves. Not your modest dress, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Philippians 2:15, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Tell me how we can let our light shine when we're on the dance floor. Tell me how it is that you and I can let our light shine, that we can stand out in a world of darkness when we're engaged in darkness. It's impossible. We can't do it. Participation in activities lends our endorsement to those activities. If we're there, well, what I've heard recently is people rarely dance at school dances. It's really just a social occasion for the young people to get together. There's not really a whole lot of dancing going on. Then call it something else. Take the dance floor out of the way and make it something else. Then you can go to it. Are our attendance at a place, are our presence at activities, lends our endorsement to those activities, whether we get on the dance floor or not, we're there. We've paid the money to get in the door. We're endorsing it. And here we are, supposedly endorsing the pure and holy doctrine of Jesus Christ. And what the world is seeing is a contradiction. A contradiction. No, we need to live our faith. We need to live the way that Christ has called us to live. If we profess to be Christians, then we need to live as Christians, not as the world, but as Christians. Is dancing a sin? I believe that we have shown from the Word of God that it is. A Christian should have about the same desire to dance as he would to engage in any other work of the flesh. Those who do such will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, what I would like for you to do is I'd like for you to take this lesson, take these points and these passages, and I'd like for you to study them, to think about them, to pray about this matter. Don't leave here repeating just what you've heard. Make sure this is what the Bible says about this subject. And this is how the Bible addresses this subject. I wish there was the verse that said, "Thou shalt not dance." Don't you wish sometimes it was spelled out that plainly? That we could go and we could find it, and there it is. All right. but it's not there. And with so many moral issues, the specific condemnation is not there. And I believe the Lord has done that on purpose. And I believe the Lord has done that for a good reason. In the place of prohibitory laws, thou shalt not, God has given us principles by which we are to govern ourselves. And these principles require us to stop and to think about our words and our actions and our motives and our attitudes. And it causes our religion to be more than just cold, heartless law-keeping. We end up doing the things that we do as Christians because we have studied God's Word, we've familiarized ourselves with His will, and we know that this is what He would have us to do. We know this is why we cannot engage in these activities. Having to dig into the Word involves our heart, it involves our mind, and that draws us closer and closer to God. And as we're drawing closer and closer to God, the world gets a little bit farther away. And it makes it just a little bit easier to live as strangers and pilgrims in this world of darkness. Young people, I appreciate you. I appreciate your faith and your faithfulness. Stay strong. Stay strong. Be faithful to the Lord. Live that life that has no regrets. Forgiveness is available to any who commit any sin, including the sins that are connected with dancing. Those can be forgiven in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not yet a Christian, you need to become one. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and let us baptize you in water for the forgiveness of those sins. And then you can rise to walk in the newness of life, learning the way God would have you to live, walking in sanctification and holiness. If you've done that, but you've become weak and unfaithful, need to make things right in a public way, or if you're overwhelmed and need our prayers, whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this invitation song. Please come.